I think that a lot of times when people hear the term postpartum, they automatically assume that it's a mood disorder. They automatically assume I've got depression. So if you were to go on your computer and type it in and you say, I have postpartum, the very first thing is, you know, I've got depression. And that's just not the case. That's one thing that may potentially happen. But postpartum is the period of time after you have given birth.
You're listening to the Untaming Podcast.
Rewild the child.
Here is your host, Emily Giles.
Hello, I'm Emily and this is the Untaming Podcast. Today it is the full waking moon here in the Southern Hemisphere. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on Dr. David Lancey's perception of how Indigenous cultures view children from the last episode. In the next episode, I talk with Dr. Thomas Kersting. He is a psychotherapist and the author of Disconnected: How to Protect Your Kids from the Harmful Effects of Device Dependency. And that's exactly what we talk about. But today we have Courtney Armorin and Katie Danielson from the Postpartum Push podcast. ...33-year-old Courtney Armorin is an OBGYN who was born and raised in Colorado, where she currently lives with her husband and her cat. 39-year-old Katie Danielson is a certified nurse midwife who grew up in Minnesota and now lives in Colorado with her partner and their four children. Together, Courtney and Katie host the Postpartum Push podcast, and they also have a website, The Push Revolution, where they provide courses and free resources with expert advice and evidence-based information to empower parents in achieving understanding, support, and health in the postpartum period. Last night, Courtney had 8 to 9 hours of sleep, and Katie had 5 interrupted hours of sleep. For dinner tonight, Courtney had mac and cheese and chicken and asparagus, and Katie had pizza with 3 of her daughters. Courtney and Katie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. Emily.
So I've had requests from listeners to do an episode on postpartum, and I thought you two would be the perfect candidates. A lot of the listeners are very, like, independent and naturally minded, so they tend to be very proactive with taking care of their own health and that of their families. Some even do, you know, self-directed pregnancies and free births, being very conscientious about the people they have around them in the pregnancy and postpartum stage. With this in mind, what advice can you offer them for preparing for postpartum, as in what can they do before birth to help make life easier?
Yeah, that is a great question. And that's one of the reasons why Courtney and I started Push, was that there's not a lot of really good information out there for families on how to prepare themselves for postpartum. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we are really strong supporters of is being prepared prior to that. So that means doing the work during pregnancy so that you're not scrambling at the last minute, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And so what sort of support could they could they try and put together from their communities to help them?
Yeah, well, one of the things that, you know, we look at is, you know, what, first of all, well, let me back up. When people are thinking about having a baby, a lot of times the focus tends to be on the actual birth, like doing the preparation for the birth, taking the birth classes, figuring out their birth plans, which are all great and fine. And I think Courtney and I both agree this is just like one piece of the puzzle. But there's much more to it, just like there's much more to it than having all of your baby's, nursery put together and having all the cute clothes put together. So talking about, you know, what your expectations are for that day, and then figuring out what are the other pieces to it. So if you're planning on having a doula, maybe doing your research on that and figuring out, do you need to meet with several doulas? Are they covered by your insurance? Are you looking for somebody that's a doula in labor or postpartum? Because there are different ones. So those are something to think about. And then thinking about how you're going to feed your baby. So if you are planning on breast or chest feeding, you know, figuring out who you need to connect with so that you can have all of those resources available should you come across any roadblocks in the first couple of weeks postpartum. If you're planning on formula feeding, so that's kind of one of the things too that's a bit of a challenge in our area is that we've got a big formula shortage. So people are preparing right now for that as well and having all of those things ready. And then other things would be figuring out if you need to have any mental health resources and physical therapy resources. So you kind of have all of this stuff talked about prior to actually giving birth.
Right. And for new parents, what could they, what can they expect in postpartum? You know, especially the aspects that aren't discussed so much, the bodily aspects like changes to the body and those sort of things.
Yeah, that's a good one. And Courtney, feel free to jump in anytime. I'm totally
I will.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so funny because I think that a lot of times when people hear the term postpartum, they automatically assume that it's a mood disorder. They automatically assume I've got depression. So if you were to go on your computer and type it in and you say, I have postpartum, the very first thing is, you know, I've got depression. And that's just not the case. That's one thing that may potentially happen. But postpartum is the period of time after you have given birth. And that could be whether you have a vaginal birth or a cesarean birth. And there are a lot of changes that will happen to your body. So the very first thing is that you're no longer pregnant because that baby is now outside of your body. Your uterus changes shape and size. So it goes from being very large to support that growing baby to shrinking down. And that'll do that over time with some cramping and contractions that you might experience postpartum. It's really common to have bleeding postpartum. And I think a lot of times people don't expect that because you go 9 months basically without having any bleeding. And then surprise, there's some bleeding that happens. And we always tell people, this is not your period. So, you know, the bleeding that occurs in the immediate postpartum period is a normal response that your body is going through afterwards. And periods might return after that 6 weeks. It might return 6 months later. You know, there's no real timeline that tells us when it's going to happen. Other things that can happen is that your body is preparing to make milk while you're pregnant. And so afterwards, the hormone shifts that are occurring can cause your milk to let down. So your breasts will change. They will become swollen or engorged, and then that milk will come out. And the really neat thing about breast milk is that it does change over time. So people talk about it being something called liquid gold. Mm-hmm. So in those first few days postpartum, that milk is really, really rich and super fatty and really good for baby. And then over a couple of days, the more like what you see on videos and pictures, the more mature milk comes in. So you can expect that as well in those first couple of days.
Nice. And just back to postpartum bleeding, is there an average length of time that people can expect?
Well, usually we don't want to. Yeah, sure. Well, the reason that you bleed is because of the placenta. So the placenta and the uterus form, they're not together, but they form an interface. Mm-hmm. So when they form together as one organ, that's actually a pathologic or a bad thing. That's called placenta accreta. And that means that the placenta will not separate from the uterus. So we want them to be interfaced, but not completely interlocked. And when that interface cleaves or that placenta is removed, there's a wound. There's like an open wound in the side of the uterus. And so then as the uterus contracts down, it cramps off all of the vessels that are feeding that area, which is what we want. That's great. And then the uterus will do something called involution, which is where it returns to its normal state, like its pre-pregnancy state. Mm-hmm. Now, your uterus might be a little bit bigger after each child or after having children. That's okay. But it shouldn't stay huge like it does postpartum. You'll still look and feel pregnant a little bit because the uterus doesn't go back to a lemon size for about 4 weeks. So we expect it to be normal at 4 weeks to 6 weeks. if you're having bleeding still 6 weeks after delivery, then you should definitely check in with your provider. And I'm not sure what the time periods are that you guys in New Zealand see patients postpartum, but unfortunately in the US, it's usually just at 6 weeks or if it's a C-section, we see it 2 weeks and then at 6 weeks. And we're all, you know, hopefully trying to make that better. And ACOG, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, is fighting that fight as well for insurance to pay for that for more comprehensive visits. But you should definitely at 6 weeks be able to say, yes, my bleeding has stopped. And if that's not the case, then to investigate further with your provider, because sometimes you can have a piece of placenta or membranes in there still that would be causing a little bit of bleeding. But the first few days is the heaviest, and you'll want to stock up on all the big pads, or actually adult diapers work pretty well too. Because those are the days that you're going to bleed the most in the first week. And then it usually trickles down. It'll become dark red, brown, yellow, and then back to white.
Nice. That's good to know. Now, so in recent years, postpartum mood disorders are being talked about more and more frequently, and there's more of an awareness. So for expectant parents, can you give us some of the most common causes of these mood disorders?
So there's a lot of things that factor into mood disorders. I think that when we're talking about postpartum specifically, a lot of times it's that hormonal shift that happens. So for women, and I'm going to use that term women for this, but we produce estrogen throughout our lives, and our estrogen levels can go up and they can go down. And what they know is that when that estrogen level drops down low, like it does in the postpartum period, that's when we're more likely to feel kind of funky. We can feel really terrible. We can have depression. We can have more mood swings. When you couple that with being very tired, so having a newborn, you don't typically, you know, get 8 hours of sleep in a night, or at least solid in a night. But, you know, you're tired and you've got that hormonal shifting that's happening, and you're taking care of a newborn who doesn't tell you with words what they need. And that can be really hard. Another factor that plays into it is the actual birth itself. And I think that this is becoming more into light in these days because people are really advocating for, like you said at the beginning, the type of birth that they want to have. And when things happen during pregnancy or labor or with the birth, that can really mess with people and make them think that something is going on. And it can cause some trauma. It can definitely make people feel like they didn't live up to their expectations. And that can lead to some mood disorders as well. And there are some pre-existing reasons why people would have mood disorders. And, you know, somebody has a history of anxiety or depression or OCD or PTSD or any other mental health disorders, that certainly increases the risk that they may have a postpartum mood disorder. So Courtney and I really love to talk about this during pregnancy and have that conversation. Ask them, you know, is this something that you have struggled with in the past? And what are you going to do in the future so that if this does happen, that you've got those resources in place, that you can talk to somebody and that you're not scrambling to find somebody when you're in the thick of it?
Now, so these, like in the initial days, what you were first talking about, these baby blues can be quite normal. How do we recognize maybe if it's starting to turn into something a bit more serious? How can we recognize this in the early stages? And, you know, what can we help to do to nip them in the bud, I guess?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it can be really challenging. Baby blues is pretty typical of what we can expect to see for that. So most people will experience this within the first 2 weeks after giving birth. So that's, again, baby's born, placenta's born, those hormone levels drop dramatically. And with that, you might feel just kind of wore out, tired, a little bit weepy. I remember when I had my babies, you know, I'd be watching TV and be like, oh my gosh, that puppy is so cute. Why am I crying? I'm not a crier. And, you know, you just are overcome with emotion. And, you know, again, that tiredness plays into that. And so most of the time, people by that 2 weeks will start to feel like their head is coming out from underneath the water, so to speak. And that's just, they're kind of getting used to things. Their body is readjusting, feeling pretty normal in that hormonal shift. With postpartum mood disorders, we talk about it lasting longer. For most people, depression doesn't show up as "I'm sad." So, you know, a lot of times I'll see people at their 6-week postpartum and they say, "I feel fine. I feel good. Maybe I have a little bit of X, Y, and Z." And then I see them again down the road because we've talked about it. And they say, "I feel angry. I feel tired. I feel like I don't want to take care of myself. I don't want to do the things I had done previously." And so those would be some signs that maybe a mood disorder is going on. And one of the things that Courtney and I really talk a lot about is anxiety postpartum, because this is one that a lot of people don't necessarily think is linked to postpartum, and a lot of people are experiencing it. And anxiety postpartum can feel very different than anxiety when you're not pregnant or when you're not, when you've not just had a baby. You know, it can feel like you can't shut your brain off, or that you can't fall asleep, or that you think something terrible is going to happen. And so that is, again, a reason why we'd want you to be talking with your provider and talking with your partner or your support people, so that if they're seeing signs of this, that you guys can talk about it and figure out something.
Mm. And what role can something like nutrition play in this, in these early months?
Well, there's a lot of talk these days about gut health and mood disorders and how they play hand in hand. If you think about, if you eat greasy food for dinner and then you go and lie down, there's a lot of times you don't feel good. You feel sluggish. You feel like you don't want to do certain things. Courtney, what was that book that you had read about the postpartum nutrition?
I think it's called The First 40 Days.
Have you heard of that?
Yes, it's good. Yeah.
It's so interesting because it's all about like really nourishing yourself and eating, not only for like, you got to eat to take care of yourself, and if you're feeding your baby, you've got to have that extra calories to do so. But I mean, it's really helping your body to heal, right? You're not just eating, you're not eating pizza like I did tonight. Cause that's not going to help your tissues heal at all, for sure. Or boost your blood supply at all.
Yeah. And I think, you know, preparing for that ahead of time, and like The First 40 Days talks about this too, like making bone broth and freezing it, you know, making freezer meals. You can sign up to have groceries delivered to your house. Like, you don't even have to go out these days and get those for yourself. but having whole foods and nutritious food on hand, because if you have had 2 hours of sleep and baby's screaming, you are not going to be like, "You know what I should do? Make a full meal." Like, that's just not going to be on your radar. So if you can just heat something up, or, you know, you can have a salad that's easy, you know, grill some chicken and put it in a Tupperware, you know, in the fridge, make a salad, throw some chicken on there. Perfect. You know, or have your bone broth, ready so that you can just heat it up and drink that, you know, that is going to make things so much easier if you have those things prepared during pregnancy to use in those first few weeks postpartum, you know.
Yeah, those are some very good tips. Thank you. And with what Katie said before, I think it's key to remember that you're eating to help your body recover from 9 months of pregnancy and birth, as well as nourish yourself to feed your newborn. There's a lot involved there with your nutritional requirements. And what was I going to ask? Oh, what do you have any sort of vision of what an optimal postpartum would look like? Like how much you can physically do? I think a lot of people are surprised at how they can't just suddenly go back to doing all their day-to-day activities.
Yeah, well, you definitely don't want to go back to exercising full strength because for one, you can hurt yourself. So your whole body chemistry, you know, as far as the hormones that are going in, the estrogen, the progesterone, prolactin, oxytocin, relaxin, you know, relaxin is one that has loosened all of your joints because, you know, our bodies, even if you have a cesarean birth, our bodies anticipate a vaginal birth. And so you're going to have loose joints, and then your rectus muscles, your abdominal muscles, your core muscles, your pelvic floor muscles are all stretched out no matter how you delivered. And so rebuilding the core is really essential. But to lay in bed all the time is not necessarily good either. You don't want to just lay there because you can actually, you're at a very high risk of blood clots postpartum. And so in pregnancy, we have high estrogen. Now postpartum, our estrogen drops to allow for breastfeeding, but we still are at that high risk, especially after having a procedure, you know, birth, et cetera. And so if you don't walk every few hours, you can get blood clots in your legs that go to your lungs, and that's called a pulmonary embolism, and people actually will die of that. So it is very important to walk, even if it's to the bathroom and back every hour, you know. But walking even immediately after birth is great. You can do, you know, reconnection with your respiratory muscles. There's a lot of physical therapists out there now who do postpartum recovery online, like core recovery, core strength, which is not sit-ups. But they say, you know, to do full workouts, you should be able to run in place or do jumping jacks, jump up and down without peeing your pants, for one. And if you can't, then, you know, doing some pelvic floor physical therapy can be really helpful. But doing these slow rebuilds, slow retraining of your core before you go out and do squats and run and do sit-ups, because you can actually widen a diastasis, which is where the rectus muscles in the front of the abdomen separate kind of during pregnancy. They can actually be more inhibited to grow back if you go right back into that same core exercise that you may have been doing pre-pregnancy. And then also your core can, or your pelvic floor can become more weak if it's not strong by doing those hardcore running exercises. And you can actually worsen stress urinary incontinence if you haven't had those retrained or, you know, re-strengthened before you go from zero to running. But walking is very good, you know, body weight exercises, you know, that type of stuff is fine, but you definitely don't want to go just straight full power.
No, and one thing too, I think that a lot of people don't, okay, so Courtney, I'll back up here. Courtney said a little bit ago that it's normal to still look like you're pregnant because your uterus is still enlarged. So a lot of times people are disappointed that, you know, they just had a baby and they still look like they're pregnant. And so they think, well, I'll start working out, I'll start exercising, I'll start doing all of these things, but that's not going, like you just said, Courtney, that's not going to help with that. And we also need to give ourselves some grace that there is no bouncing back. We don't need to do that. That needs to be something that, you know, Hollywood or the movies needs to stop glamorizing, is that you don't go from just having a baby to being flat stomach the next day. That's unrealistic. And if they are, it is because they're being held in very tightly by all sorts of support to look that way. Yeah. But it's normal to have, to still have a pregnant looking belly. It's normal, and that's okay.
Yeah. And with what Courtney was saying before about at some point wanting to be able to run and jump and do jumping jacks without peeing yourself, that's obviously, that's not immediately after birth. How far after birth would you be hoping to achieve this?
Well, I mean, if your core, so you don't want to do any strenuous exercise until 6 weeks at least after. But if you do some jumping jacks and you are peeing yourself, then connecting with a pelvic floor physical therapist, or, you know, researching online pelvic floor physical therapy postpartum. And there's a lot of programs out there. You don't necessarily have to go to a pelvic floor physical therapist, but I would definitely, if they're available to you, 100,000% recommend it, because they are amazing. But, you know, there's that build up to it. You have to reconnect with your core, re-strengthen your core, walk, jog before you can run, you know. So, but at least 6 weeks, we say, for strenuous exercise.
Right. Now, I know you're both strapped for time here. Is there anything that you wanted to add that I haven't asked about or haven't gone into depth enough that you think should be covered?
I think we covered.
Yeah. The only thing I think would be really good to hit on is our website that we have that has all of these great resources on there. You know, Courtney and I started this kind of not really knowing we were going to connect with people, and postpartum parents, while they're busy doing stuff, often have time to scroll through social media. And so that's where we tend to connect with people, where we've been able to be more visible that way. And so we've got an Instagram that we post to every day. Mm-hmm. We tackle some important things that people are going to experience throughout the postpartum period. And sometimes we talk about pregnancy stuff too, because we have to first be pregnant to get to postpartum. And sometimes we talk about newborn things too, because that is also connected to that postpartum person. And then we have a great, we have some great free resources. So we talked a little bit about those mood disorders, and we talk a little bit about how you can prepare for baby blues. And so clicking on that and getting signed up will give you access to that. We talk about, what else we talk about in there? We have a great course that we are so thrilled about that we did for helping families get in that space of feeling like they're prepared and empowered for postpartum, because you really can. I think back to when I had my first baby. I was 20 years old. I had no idea what I was doing. None of my friends had had babies. You know, I was pretty much in the dark trying to figure things out. And as we were writing this and making this, I just thought, these are all the things that I wish that I would have known that I want to share with the world. And so we're very excited about that. So all of that stuff is on our website. What else, Courtney?
Yeah, and we have also have a podcast, the Push Revolution podcast. And we interview a lot of, you know, like even pelvic floor physical therapists, nutritionists, that type of stuff too. But yeah, I also think that, you know, kind of naming your support team prior, and even, you know, this doesn't have to be your mom, it doesn't have to be your sister, but just knowing if I have trouble with X, I'm going to call Y. So like, if I have trouble with lactation, then I'm going to call this IBCLC or whatever equivalent, you know, breastfeeding expert. And you just have their number on the fridge, you know, because when you're in crisis, you're not going to want to just figure out who your best person is going to be online. You're not going to have the bandwidth for that. And so just having those already available, you know, basically like a therapist, a breastfeeding professional, pelvic floor physical therapist, an obstetrician or a midwife, even if you're free birthing, you know, you still have a uterus. You may need to have help, especially if you're bleeding afterwards or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so having, you know, a medical professional to call or a place that you know you can go to. Yeah. And then also, you know, friends and family, setting up those grocery deliveries ahead of time, maybe asking for, you know, cute baby things for baby showers. I assume that you guys do baby showers in New Zealand as well. But asking also for maybe gift cards for house cleaning or, you know, meal delivery services, setting up a meal train, you know, getting these things ahead of time set up so that it just makes it easier for you. You can just focus on healing and being with baby, connecting with your family, all that type of stuff.
Nice. Fantastic. Yes. So I'll put links in the show notes to your podcast and the Push Revolution website, your Instagram and your course. That's right, isn't it? We covered everything you said.
Yeah, I think so. That'd be great.
Well, Courtney and Katie, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. You've shared some valuable information that I'm sure will be very useful to the listeners. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So now my final question for you to end on is, if the entire world's knowledge was lost and you could only leave one sentence for future generations, what would it be?
Oh, boy.
I guess I would probably say, don't let other people's experiences and expectations influence your postpartum journey, because everybody's different. Every baby's different. And also something that this is two sentences, but
just give me mine.
And then it's a paragraph, and then but I think one of the biggest misconceptions that people have these days is that babies are born knowing to breastfeed, how to breastfeed. And in the same way that you're a new mother, they're a new baby or a new parent, and they're learning as much as you're learning. And each baby, each pregnancy is different. And so, you know, go into it with an open mind and you and baby will learn together.
Give yourself some grace. Yes, I love that. And also tell your mom, I'm sorry for everything that you've done as a teenager, because all of that will come up postpartum and you'll be like, I love you so much, mom.
If you enjoyed this episode, you can join the discussions on our Facebook and Instagram pages. To hear more, subscribe for free on the podcast app on your smartphone. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and all of your favorite podcast platforms. If you would like to offer feedback or suggest a guest, email us at untaming.podcast@gmail.com.